is Social Media Simplified, a podcast that takes the guesswork out of using social media to build your audience and increase your exposure on the web. Join us as a social media scholar for exclusive tips, tactics, and strategies to create content, market your brand, and much more. Let's do this. Hey, all you social media scholars, welcome to Social Media Simplified. I'm Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo.
And I'm your collaboration connoisseur, Lante Tacona.
And today we actually had an interview with a really good friend of ours, Vince Sandry, who's an SEO expert. And he helped deconstruct the basic principles of SEO. He's going to show you how to rank higher in search and how to write content that even your mom would understand.
Let's get to the interview.
All right, so welcome, Vince, to the show.
Thanks.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you having me on as a guest.
Yeah, first guest.
It's going to be exciting. Yeah. It's going to be a good show.
It's an honor.
So, yeah, I moved to Chicago here back, summer of 2017. I met you and Lante at Social Media Day.
You know, that's actually a funny story because I was at social media and social media week, right?
I thought it was day.
Social media day.
Yeah, that particular one was social media day. Yeah, it's totally insane.
And I sat down, and it was interesting because the panelists were getting up there, and and I'd met Vince at a previous event, and I saw him sitting up there. I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's kind of cool.
You kind of run the same
guy,
circle,
right?
Right?
I know that guy, right? Yeah. And so my task for that was, as the host asked me to keep time on a register.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I was, like, sitting on a couch in the very front row, and I was, like, keeping time, and I'm sitting next to this guy, and this guy turns around next to me, and he's like, what are you doing? What is that? Where'd you get that? That's what he said. He said, where'd you get that? I was like,
where'd you get
that? And I was like, oh, you know, I'm just trying to keep time. These are like the topics. I'm supposed to like kind of keep people on track or whatever, you know, give a signal. He's like, can I see that? I was like, oh, sure, I guess. So we're talking a little bit and he's coming off as very like confident. I'm like, wow, like what does this guy do? Where's he from?
What does he do?
Yeah, I feel like he's so comfortable here. And then I asked him, you know, where he's from. How long has he been in Chicago for? And he's like, I just got here 2 days ago.
first event in Chicago, social media day, right?
Pretty much, crazy, yeah. And I met two of my really good friends here actually. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about SEO and content writing, how that relates back to writing more effective copy for social and also for blog posts on websites.
Yeah,
and
basically. He asked me to do it, like, last minute because he needed an extra panel or, you know, an extra panelist for that.
Yeah.
I forgot because he had it, like, divided in segments. I forgot what, like, the overall theme of that segment was. But, yeah, that was essentially what he wanted me to do was talk about how content creation related to social media because everybody else there was, like, strict social media, like marketing on social media and
mm-hmm.
And not so much on the, you know, I mean, I was talking about content that you create outside of social media and then use social media to promote.
Ah, I see. Okay, but you mainly write for websites, right?
Websites and blogs, yeah. Service pages, like blogs on, like, company websites where the blog topics are related to the services.
Yeah.
But it's, like, information that regular people can use.
Okay.
So, like, that's kind of, you know, the basic idea behind that.
So, overall, though, for the people that don't know, what is SEO and how does that relate to writing better content?
Well, I mean, you start with what SEO stands for, which is search engine optimization. So that right there is, I mean, for us, I guess it's self-explanatory. For some people, it might not be. But the idea is you want to optimize your website to be found in search engines, and there's a million ways you can go about it. As far as content creation, like, content's one of the major elements of it because that's what Google's looking for is quality content. That's what it crawls to find its keywords or whatever it is it's looking for to index stuff.
Okay.
So it sounds like before we like kind of get deep into that, it sounds like when you write, as you've said, you know, during that panelist, we were asked to talk about how you're writing and how that content is then promoted into social media, and we're talking about SEO as a way to kind of like integrate that into the content you're creating. So, talk about a little bit about what is it that you actually write, or like give us a frame of mind of what you do. What is it that you do? What kind of things do you write, and then maybe how you supplement that with SEO.
Okay, well, like I said, it seems like mostly what I write are either blogs where it's, like, about some kind of topic that can be relatable to people, something they can make, like, a problem or something they can maybe solve on their own, and then service pages, which are straight up, you know, like, pages about said service on a website that have a call to action, like
service or a product.
A service or a product. Just most of the clients we have are services, so that's just
like
kind of what I'm
used to. You're, like, educating the user
So, I mean, you use certain SEO elements for both, where it's, for blogs, what you're looking for is you're trying to think more what people are actually searching for if they have a problem, so to speak. So, like, you know, one point of emphasis I've been having is trying to frame them around a question that people are actually asking. You know, and there's ways to do that. There's ways to find, like, there's ways to do research, like, around, like, where you can find questions surrounding a keyword.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing that because you know people are searching for that. Exactly. Those are the questions that are being asked, so you write for that person.
Exactly. So that's kind of like the philosophy behind blogs, right? Because you're trying to get information that people might be looking for that could be useful to them, that they'll search real quick on their phones or something. Yes. And if, especially if they ask a question, because, you know, when people are searching on their phones, they're doing it with their voices, and they're literally asking a question.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time, how attention spans are gone. People search for things on their phones very quickly. They want information right now. And it sounds like you're writing to optimize that process.
Essentially, yeah. So, and that's one of the SEO principles there, is, like, using your keywords. And in this sense, you're using, like, those questions that people are actually asking.
So they can get the information faster.
Exactly. And
so what you're saying, essentially, like, to paraphrase, is kind of like when you write, you're writing with your focus of answering a question. And this question or the search phrase is something that is popular. It's a common thing that's being searched for. So you're sort of filling the gap, right?
Basically,
asking that's questions. And you want to fill the gap and answer that question.
It kind of relates back to hashtags.
Yeah, you can.
So most social media platforms have hashtags. It's very similar to keywords, right?
Yeah, it really is. And it's the same thing. Like, you want to, even if it's funny that you bring this up, because I think about this from this very conference where we met. There was a guy, the guy that does, I forgot exactly what his business was. He takes, like, food, like, leftover food from restaurants, and then he repurposes it to feed other. I know, I can't remember the guy's name.
He was one of the panelists.
He was a chef.
But he said something. He's like, when you're using hashtags that aren't, like, created, that haven't already been created, you're just doing it with no care. You want to find hashtags that are out there that people are actually using.
Demand.
And you want to do the same thing with your keywords too, because if you're just throwing keywords in there, that's cool and all, but if no one's looking for those keywords, what good is it doing you?
That's right. So it sounds like
content, or you're answering floating out there,
or if you're answering questions that no one's asking.
Right.
That's right.
It sounds like creating purposeful content, right?
You're writing this content for that search engine, right? To make sure it finds those keywords, it crawls it correctly, so it can provide the user with the most relevant content.
Exactly.
But that's not all you're writing for, right?
No.
Not just for the search engines.
No, I mean, you have to remember that you're actually writing for people as well. I mean, yeah, you have to put certain elements into it for those search engines to catch you. And the questions are a good way to do it because, yeah, the search engines are looking for those questions, but they're looking for those questions because real people are asking them.
Mm. That's right.
So when you're answering them, like, put the question there for the search engine, but you want to write your answer for the person.
Right.
Yeah, you're optimizing it mainly, though, for the user.
Yeah, you want to have the user in mind more so than the search engine, but at the same time, you got to keep, like, the...
Both in mind.
Yeah, right? You got to keep both in mind, so you got to keep your keywords in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So if you could, like, split it down into a ratio.
A ratio?
What would the ratio of, like, how would you write to optimize for the search engine versus the user? What would your ratio be?
I mean, I would say at least, like, 30-70. Like, 30 for the search engine, like, 70 for the user. Because you really want to, like, the user is the most important thing here. And Google even knows that.
Yeah.
And, like, every time they do, like, an algorithm update, they're basically just trying to update their crawlers to better assess quality content.
Mm-hmm. Quality.
Yeah.
So I keep hearing quality and relevancy. That's what I keep hearing.
Because you know what it was like, you know, about 7-8 years ago, like, keyword stuffing was a big thing. It actually worked. Those are the kind of things that they're now phasing out. Like, every time there's an algorithm update, it's like to better, you know, it's almost like they're trying to make their algorithm more human in the way it, like, assesses content.
So
instead of just picking up, like, all these keywords, so this must be good.
Google's getting smarter.
Yeah. Exactly. Google's getting smarter.
It's not recognizing just these keywords anymore. They want to make sure the user experience is sound.
Yeah, that's been their whole point of emphasis.
That's a good point right there. So the user experience being sound. So, like, I want to do a little exercise here and kind of go through this and see and see if we can make it a little bit more tangible, right? So how do you make the user experience more fluid, seamless way
where they can grab the information they need quickly.
Very quickly. So now in terms of writing, let's call it a blog article, right?
Okay.
That comes down to how a user navigates, right, an article, how it's presented to them, and how quickly or slowly, I guess, or maybe in depth they receive that information, right? So let's talk about a blog article. It's a fictional blog article.
Okay.
Let's say
you just pick a service
or
something.
Let's talk about a service. Yeah.
I'm a roofer.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a fantastic client that we share, so we can talk.
Yeah, let's
say
I'm a roofer and I really want to start educating my market more on the reasons why they should get their roof replaced, when, how, why. So if I were to write a blog article about that, Where would you start? Like at the top? Are you putting more important information up front, or how? Where do you put that?
Let's talk about the structure as a whole, right? First of all, and then we can break down sections.
I was wondering if you were going to start with, like, if you're asking, like, how do you get the idea to start with anyway? Because that's kind of...
Oh, topic generation. Sure,
exactly, because the topic can be...
That's perfect.
Because, I mean, you could use that topic. You could go... It depends on how you want to break it down. Because you could go, like, you know, a topic like signs that you need a new roof or something. And then it could be more like a basic thing. You have, like, a list of, like, 10 to 12 things you look for or whatever.
Do you work on the title itself to make it search friendly?
Yeah, that's definitely important.
How
you want to optimize
it search friendly.
Well, if there's a question out there that's actually being asked, you can phrase the question in a way like you don't want to rip it off of like other. So you don't want to repeat blog text.
Is that your each one?
Will be a tangible question of this roofer. Right?
Yeah.
So it's you want to write a blog article about roofers. So what is the question that they might be? Asking maybe how much does it cost to repair my roof?
That could
price
be one
point's
right
probably a big issue,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that can depend on like certain factors like what kind of roof you get, the kind of materials, whatnot, and that can be the focus for a blog too, because okay. that's a real question someone would have before they would actually go to replace their roof.
Yes.
They want to know what would it cost them.
Right. I have a client right now that I'm going to be writing an article for like a long term marketing strategy, and it's more about how to pick the right contractor for your house. What things to look for. So you're educating them from a third point of view, but you're also positioning yourself as an expert saying, I know how to pick one because I am one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're saying these are the things that make a bad contractor that we are not.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not, it's not very intrusive. It's like, hey, buy from me. It's more like, I'm going to educate you on why, on how to pick a good contractor
for your
home.
That's your objective for that.
And
piece
naturally,
of
they'll be
right.
like, well, this is really interesting. I didn't know that. Who wrote this? Right?
So here's the question then. All right. So I want to write content for roofers, right?
Yeah.
How do I know what people are asking so that I can write something about it?
Okay. Well, there's a couple of different tools you can use. With Google Analytics, if you have Google Analytics set up for your website, you can look at what keywords bring people to your pages.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's also things like Moz and like other kind of SEO tools where you can like kind of track the keyword usage. There's also free tools, like one I've been using lately is one called Answer the Public.
Answer the Public?
Yeah, where it's a totally free website. You just go to Answer the Public, there's like a bar there. You put in your keyword, and then you hit the, you know, the enter button or whatever, and it just lists every question related to that keyword.
Wow.
So if you put roof replacement in there and hit it, it would be like, you just see a bunch of questions related to roof replacement, like how much does roof replacement cost? What can I expect with roof replacement? How do I find a roof?
How long does it take?
Yeah.
It doesn't, I'd have to go back and look. Like, I haven't explored it too deeply. Like, I don't look at it for, like, the numbers. Like, I didn't see numbers.
You just
like,
want to know what the questions
exactly.
are.
Exactly. I'm looking for the questions. And they're pulling their questions from somewhere. They're not just making them up.
And you can like, almost double back with that and then go type that question into a keyword search or a planner.
Absolutely.
And see what
and
the
see
actual numbers
are.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's what I do. You know, you use Answer the Public to get your topic idea, and then you take it back to, you know, do your regular research and like keyword planner or whatever it is.
Post on social media, you can go see what people are searching for.
Yeah. Also true.
And that's what is it not BuzzFeed?
Sumo Buzz.
No. There's one where it will rank all the different social media content posts, how well they're doing. Across like likes, shares, all that stuff.
It's Sumo Buzz, dude.
Is it Sumo?
Yeah, Sumo Buzz.
Buzz Sumo.
It's Buzz Sumo or Sumo Buzz. I don't know how like the thing like.
Flips. Yeah, I can't remember.
It's a blue website.
It sounds like the same thing where you're searching for what's already being asked. You take that topic and you write something better. Do you look at what's already being searched for and you write a better piece of content, or you just write around that topic?
Yeah.
Well, what I do is I like to, like when it comes to a blog, I try to find as many examples as possible and then rework them. Like I won't follow like the format of one blog, and I'll take information from a few different ones and try to like put it together in a different sort of way. Or maybe I'm asking a question that's slightly different, so I just present it in a different way or something.
So you're trying to be a little unique with it.
Yeah, the idea is definitely to be... I mean, that's the thing. It's
repurpose it.
There's
right?
a balance, yeah. Because there's a balance because you want to be able to like write what people want to, you know, what people want to read. And if those questions are out there, you know, a lot of people know to look for these kind of questions. So if everybody's trying to answer the same question, you can run into
but
that problem.
But you don't want to plagiarize, right?
No,
just
you
definitely... everything that's...
No. Yeah. I mean, and Google's really strict on that. It's duplicate content. You know, as a content writer, that's like my golden rule is no duplicate content.
Okay.
You want to... Like, I write everything fresh. Even if I'm using other blogs as an example, like nothing gets copied. I try to write it completely. Yeah, it's my unique words and phrases and all that, and I try the best I can to take the information that I think is useful for my purposes,
okay,
and then put it, you know, present it how I want to present it or how I see fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah, because I used to. So before I got into social media marketing, I studied SEO. I loved SEO. It was like my thing. It got me into like this whole like digital universe thing. And when I was studying it, there was a guy I came across called Brian Dean that is all about quality backlinks. And he had a technique that he apparently coined and created himself called the skyscraper technique, where you take a piece of content that's already doing very, very well, right?
Yeah.
And you look at it, you see what they did, and you create one that's 10 times better than that. Once you do that, you reach out to the people that have already linked to that original piece of content and say, hey, I saw that you liked this piece of content already.
Wow.
I just created the ultimate one around this.
Wow. I like
that. So link to me instead.
So take a look. You know,
because that's a good idea. Because link building is a challenge, man. Link building is one of the hardest things.
That's a similar strategy, but similar sort of like, call it tactic. With Neil Patel, right?
They're both buddies, right? Ryan Dean and Neil Patel.
So Neil Patel does it the other way. He'll crawl a site, right? Find broken links to articles that don't exist. Mm-hmm. And then create content around those broken links and then offer it and say, hey, your link is broken.
But you can link to,
you reach out to them. It's very non-intrusive. It's like, hey, I just came across your site. I really liked this article. I clicked on it, but it didn't take me anywhere. It just so happens I wrote something on that. Feel free to look at it. If not, have a good day.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, apparently, that's a really good way to build links, but that's a little bit off topic from
content
creation. Here, let's bring it back to this blog. Yeah, I know. So the first thing we talked about was how to find that question, right?
And the
few tools, and you know why that's important.
And that's how you get your topic.
So let's talk about the structure real quick of a blog or a post or an article, because you just mentioned that you look at a lot of articles, but everything you write is fresh.
Yeah.
So what are some, I guess, like tangible or practical tips that you could give on how to structure or write a blog or an article?
Okay, so before I go into this, I must, you know, there's a disclaimer I have to say. Because of my educational background, I have my writing background is mostly academic.
Okay.
And then for SEO writing, it's like they're way opposite sides of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So me personally, I'm constantly trying to,
it is an internal
battle between the academic writer in me and then the SEO writer that's like simplify it, you know? So the way I do it is, you know, you always want to start with some kind of hook or intro anyway. You know, it's the same as academic writing, but the same in any kind of writing. So
any type of writing, video creation, anything like that, there's always got to be a hook.
There's some kind of introduction where, like, you know, in a lot of the services I kind of do, it's you're centering it on, like, a pain, what we call pains that someone might have, like a problem that needs resolving that this service can resolve for
you. You don't sell the service, you solve problems.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you might want to start with, like, describing the problem, how the problem might make you feel, and how, like, this service will solve your problem, and then you won't have to feel these things or whatever.
So you're writing less from a logical point of view, more from an emotional point of view,
In a way, yeah.
That's how it sounds, like it's similar.
I guess I am kind of conflating service pages with blogs here, but it's the same idea. But even with a blog, like, you start with some kind of intro, like, related to the topic. Like, if the topic is, you know, something like going back to, like, how to, you know, when to know when to replace your roof or something. Mm-hmm. Then you can start with is your roof like constantly leaking? Like you have like every time there's a storm, like stuff's, you know, your shingles are broken or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things, like those little annoyances they have at their roof that you can get them to relate to. It's like
identifying the pain.
Yeah, my roof does leak all the time. You know,
like, so you're writing this. Do you do any like customer research prior to writing a post? Like, I know the demand is based on the keywords itself, but do you ever go into like, I don't know, say like maybe some social media posts and see like look at reviews, maybe bad reviews, and see what people are not liking about
to qualify the pain.
You know what I'm saying? Like to really know their language, because the customers, when they write a review, they're using their language.
That's
so when
true.
You write to them, you can use their same language too. Is it similar?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I do it mostly with keywords. I got to be honest, because I'm more like in charge of like content writing with my company, and we have managers of our accounts that look into more stuff like that.
Okay.
So I get like some guidance on keywords from them, and I do some keyword research on my own. And they are more on like the reviews and stuff like that, because they monitor like local listings.
Sure.
And
sounds like more qualitative aspects they're working on there.
Exactly. So I work within a company, we have a team, and they have that's kind of part of their job description is they're keeping an eye on the reviews, and they're running the Google local listings. And
So the headers, I guess, is it the headers that we're talking about that is sort of grabbing that or pinpointing that pain point? Or is it, are you talking about the full content of the article? So I know we're talking about the structure of a blog, right? So obviously the header.
Yeah, you want your the title of the actual blog, you want, you know, you have that, you want it to answer some sort of question, or even ask a question that they might have. Then your intro kind of gets them into it, right? You go over the pains they have, like how it can be, how you can possibly resolve it, or if it's like tips, or like, you know, if you're not sure like when to replace your roof, it's like after you kind of go over like the problems you have with your roof, and it's like, well, here's how to know if it's finally time to, you know, these following like signs. Or
I've always been curious about that. It's like if someone's searching for an answer and Google will respond with, hey, this is a result that might solve whatever problem you're looking for, when they arrive on that page and the first paragraph, shouldn't that be the answer to their question? Because that's what they're looking for immediately. They don't want to read down. Because I do that. I go arrive at a page, and if I see right away there's like all this exposition.
No, yeah, that's a good point. Actually, that's a good point. I don't even click on pages. When I Google a question, I want to see it literally the first three sentences of the search results. I'm not even trying to click on the link. So,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
How do you overcome that challenge? Or what are your thoughts on how quickly you deliver the answer?
Yes.
Right?
Because you want them to stay.
True.
But you also want to answer their question. It sounds like it's a fine balance, right?
It is. And you know, something you try to do in the intro, too, is like kind of give them an answer to the question without... Or you can hint, or at least like lead. Give like the... Yeah, lead. Like give the basic answer. Like here's like the one sentence answer, but you have to, you know, and then you draw out your explanation. Yeah. And then you can also like guide them with like your headers within the blog, too. So like if you look and like you see like an intro paragraph, and then like right after that you have a header that like asks the question that immediately answers the question.
If it immediately answers the question and they arrive on that page, your bounce rate will go up because you gave them the answer right away.
There's also that too.
But you don't want your bounce rate to go up because they're not staying on your website.
Exactly.
It's a fine balance. Yeah. I've always never fully understood it.
And that's like that thing there is like if you're measuring like the amount of time that people spend on your website before they bounce, like you can set where you want your bounce rate. Like if for some reason you have like a landing page where it gives like a quick answer to something, and like you can determine like, you know, 30 seconds is enough for you because it was only like such a short message, so you can set it that within 30 seconds, you know, you can set your bounce rate so that like beyond a certain time, like it doesn't count as a bounce, you know.
Oh, interesting. Okay. You guys have your own standards.
Yeah, like it kind of depends. Like if you have a blog and like you put it as like the minutes your time, so if anyone leaves within a minute, like then like it counts, like, you know, that's part of your bounce rate.
Yeah. Okay.
Or if you have it so that, you know, if it's like a quick ad and you put it at 30 seconds, so anyone that stays longer than 30 seconds, so if they bounce in 45, it doesn't count against your bounce rate. It's in the eye of the
beholder. We're getting a bit technical.
That's
fine. Like that's
we keep expanding on these topics.
It does come back to the user experiences, because you want to write content for the user but also for the search engine. We covered that.
Yeah.
But you also want people to stay on your website.
Yeah, you do.
But you also want to give them the answers they're looking for quickly. So
yeah, I know it's so many things to balance.
It's a bit convoluted,
and it's a challenge, and it's a challenge I admit I have too. You know, and I see that too. And I'm looking up like other blogs and service pages just for, you know, research or whatever. It's a problem a lot of people have.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And
you want them to stay, right? Because that's going to be their first the first point of entry, right, into the site.
And that's
also the 70%. I just want to add on to that. Is also the 70% of why you're even writing this article.
True.
For the person.
But here's something else I'll throw at you too that throws another wrench in that challenge. Is Google favors blogs that are like 1,500 to 2,500 words. Who reads those? Like, you know, who reads
is that set in stone?
It's pretty. We've been looking into it. It's something that's pretty.
I feel
like
that is antiquated. That should be.
I know. I know.
Because people do not want to read.
I know, but here's the logic behind that is because if you have something that long, you can answer so many questions that like people are looking for. So
in
like
one place.
Exactly.
In one place.
That's why Google's favoring it right now because they're crawling
that. Makes sense.
Crawling.
I don't know if I agree with it.
You know what? I don't know if I do either, because
I feel like the points, each point you're trying to make in that long blog post should be its own little page.
It could
because
be, yeah.
When you're scrolling down,
but that's another.
It might answer a lot of things, but no one's gonna read all that anymore.
True.
So it's gonna sound like I'm plugging Neil Patel, but I'm just gonna go back to this. Right?
No,
let's go back to Neil Patel one more time. I watched this video.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing, and he was saying that. So Google, again, like you were saying, favors like those longer articles and posts.
Yeah.
right? And so he was saying that rather than kind of, I'm paraphrasing, rather than going back into creating new content as, like, new developments come on, is to finding a way to integrate that content in. Now,
it sounds like he's writing for the search engine. That's what it sounds like.
The 30%, I mean, if you're trying to optimize your search engine, that's what you're doing. But again, it's also the delivery, right? How is he breaking it up? Is it, you know, are there like sublinks? I'm sure there's...
Yeah, because the way you break it up is more for the people.
Yeah.
Even though it does have benefits to the search engine, too.
So, I want to focus on the search engine, that 30%, right?
Okay.
And so, in the SEO world, you hear things like long tail and short tail keywords. So, like, kind of give me what the for dummies version of what those are. Give me real snippets of what those are, and then how those are used within a blog article.
Okay. Well, sticking with our example, like, a short tail keyword is roof replacement. A long tail keyword is... how much does it cost to have my roof replaced? Or, you know, or how much does roof replacement cost?
Literally descriptive.
A longer string of words. But the idea behind a long tail keyword is like the reason they're longer strings of words is because of voice search. Because people are asking questions and using real phrases to try to get some kind of answer back from the search engine. Like no one picks up their phone and goes roof replacement. You know,
right. Yeah.
No one thinks that way anymore. In my opinion, they don't write that way. But those short tail keywords are more expensive in a way to get yourself ranking or exposure for those.
So here's the thing. It's like we're getting a point here, right? It's gonna be a fork in the road, right? We're talking about long tail, short tail keywords for like searchability and like what people are searching for. And there's obviously a difference in the way people search for things when they're typing things or if they were speaking it into an application like OK Google. So what are your thoughts on the searchability of voice versus actual typing?
Well, I mean, there is a difference in the way people phrase things when they're typing versus when they speak, because when they speak, it's more like natural speech, like they're actually talking. And one thing to keep in mind, though, is voice search is growing and it's becoming bigger than typed search, so to speak. So it's important to know what people are asking through voice search. And because when people are doing voice searches, they're speaking as if they were speaking normally. They're using full-on phrases.
Conversational.
Exactly.
Right?
Conversational. And those are where the long tail keywords is the entire phrase. So that's why like an entire question can be a long tail keyword, because it's a question someone will actually say into their phone.
Out loud, right.
Exactly.
It's very interesting. So voice search is becoming bigger, you're saying. So what are some ways to sort of leverage voice search when it comes to search engine optimization? How do you use voice search to leverage that, boost your rankings per se?
Well, one thing is to use the questions, like we were talking about earlier, use the questions that people are actually asking as your blog titles, your subtitles. And if you use a question that you know people are asking within your blog title or within your blog, and then you use like a question as like a subheading, right? And then right after that, you give a direct answer to it before you go on explaining it further. Then you can have a chance of getting you're getting a Google featured snippet.
A feature snippet.
Okay.
Which is what answer? Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is that you know what people are gonna ask.
Mm-hmm.
So you make sure you put that information at above the first point of the article, and Google will reward you with that by giving you something called a featured snippet?
Yes, and it can come from any point in your article. It doesn't necessarily have to be the beginning. It can be anywhere where there's a direct question and there's an answer.
And it grabs it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's take a step back. So,
okay.
So obviously, when you're writing an article, a blog post, and you're answering a question, right? You've done your research and you know the question is being asked. You've qualified that.
Yes.
You know that this is the question I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're saying that in my header, I should literally verbatim type that as the heading of the article.
Like
the
H1.
Question being asked.
You can do like an H1 of it. I was thinking more of an H2 within the body.
Okay. What is the topic? How is that related to my question, or is that?
Well, the topic can be, I mean, you could have the topic be like a broader question, and then there's specific questions within that.
Okay.
Yeah, or the topic, like if the topic's not necessarily a question, then there could be questions related to the topic.
Okay. I understand.
I hear for a roofing article, you'd be like, how do I choose the right contractor to replace my roof? That would be the H1 per se.
It could be an H2.
That could
as
be
well.
H2. Let's just say it's an H1, right?
Yeah.
But an H2 would be like, how much does it cost?
Exactly.
Another H2 would be like, how long does it take?
And each one of those, there's a possibility of getting a featured snippet for that. So Google decides what is a featured snippet and what isn't.
Sure. As long as you play their game.
Yeah, the best you can do is look into what does get featured as a snippet and basically take away the characteristics that are similar between all the featured snippets.
So let's ground us on what a snippet is.
Okay, so a featured snippet, if you've ever done a search in Google, like you type in a question or ask a question, and you get like the first result, you get, it's literally part of the body of the page where you see the question that you asked and then an immediate answer in a white box where it's just text. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing you see at the top. Nice. And right under that box, yeah, it's in that box right at the top, and then right at the bottom of that snippet is the link to the article that that mm-hmm. snippet is from. Mm-hmm. So if you get a snippet, it's basically Google's way of rewarding you for directly answering that question is putting you right there at the top, mm-hmm. giving the immediate answer. So that means that link, that first link, gives the answer when all the other links below it are just a link.
And in my opinion, there's a balance there because Google is supplying the information on the very first result page, right? They give you the answer to what you want. But I noticed there's a little more link there below the snippet, meaning it answers a partial amount of the question and mm-hmm. leaves a little bit for you to wonder more.
Yeah,
so you click more, and it'll take you to that website where that question was answered.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Exactly. And I've also noticed, too, that beneath the actual snippet itself, there might be four or five follow-up questions that if you click on those, then another snippet will come up, you know?
Wow.
It gets to the regular listings.
The information without you even having to go to the website.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, so you get the answer without having to go to the website, but blogs that do get snippets have been shown to have a higher click-through rate because it kind of builds trust. Because if you look
if they
for...
they know that answer, they
exactly.
might know more.
If that answers your question immediately, and then all of a sudden it makes it seem like a trustworthy source to you because it answered your question.
It
was the first one.
Yes,
it was the first one to answer your question.
Wow.
But Google's deciding to put it there because it liked the answer that your article gave to that question, so it features it, you know, hence the featured snippet of your article.
All right, so we're talking about snippets, and we understand that there's a value and benefit in it, right?
Absolutely.
Right, and some of the tactics of structuring your blog or article post will essentially aid you in getting to be a snippet?
Yeah, there's a couple different things that, like, snippets have in common. There's, like, two main ones.
Okay.
Like, there's the, like I said, the question plus the answer approach, where it's, like, there's a header, you know, you have mm-hmm. a question as your header, mm-hmm. and then in the next, like, 150 to 200 words, you answer it.
So I guess what I'm getting at here with the question is really, okay, when you have a featured snippet show up on Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there must be a competition out there, right? Other people are also writing things that could potentially be a snippet.
Yeah.
So when it comes to, like, terms of competition and ranking, what things could you do? If I was writing an article, what would I be able to do? What are some things I should think about considering doing to get to a competitive edge? To be maybe the first
because that's what
ranks,
you want,
right?
You want to be able to rank above other websites so they can search.
Yeah, you do.
Because
if you get that feature snippet, you are the first.
It's all about exposure.
So what you can do is you can put in your keyword or like the question that you're trying to answer and look at what the current featured snippet is, if there is one.
Okay.
And if there is a featured snippet, because Google decides on new featured snippets all the time. Like mm-hmm. once you have it, it's not set in stone. You can lose it.
Right.
So if you see what the featured snippet is and you see like the question and then the explanation of the question and you think you can answer it better, do it.
Okay.
Because if you have the same question and you answer it better and like more concisely within that, like, you know, 200 words, you know, 2 to 3 sentences roughly, like, you know, mm-hmm. space limit, Google might choose you.
They're rewarding you for being more concise.
Yes,
the best
exactly.
candidate, right?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's all in the interest of the user. So who it is to Google is arbitrary.
So that's why
they'll pick a different
one.
They don't care who it is. Yeah.
That is so fascinating because, like, what's happening now with these websites that you want, again, back to what I've been talking about, it's like you want people to go to your website. But if you're able to do your job correctly and give the people what they want fast, you can be featured as a snippet on the search engine page.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying if they're there as a snippet, it builds trust, so therefore they're more likely to click through to that website.
It has been shown that the click-through rates go up.
So it's not exactly what I'm thinking then. It's like they will go to your website regardless.
I mean, I guess.
Man, high click-through rate for that. Interesting.
It has been shown the click-through rates through those are pretty good. And even within my company, we've noticed that some of the blogs on, like, our main blog that have been, like, picking up steam lately,
uh-huh.
they do have featured snippets. We've been finding them having featured snippets.
So what I'm hearing is, like, you have the right keywords that'll get you the right exposure on the mm-hmm. first page of Google. You write for Google as far as getting these Google snippets, writing the question in your blog article, writing the answer to be featured on the first page. Now, everyone wants to be on the first page. They want to rank as first, second, third. There's only 10 results on the first page. Now,
Listen, just right. Let me pause you right there. So it was so interesting. I was actually talking to a few of my friends. One particular, his name is Quincy Bingham, and he does PPC. And we were going through a conversation, and this phrase came up. We were reading it, and it said, "What is the best place to hide a dead body?" Right. And so it's like a blank dot dot dot, and you have to flip. So you scroll to the next page, and it says the second page of Google.
So what? That was on the first page? The second page was the answer?
The answer.
That's brilliant.
That's pretty funny. That's on the second. Yeah.
And so that reminded me, and it's hilarious because, you know, you just kind of like alluded to that point. You know, everyone's in competition to be on this first page. Why the first page, first of all? And then secondly, you know, I guess we could talk about why second, third is okay. But most importantly, it's like, what are the, if you could summarize, best practices for ranking on that first page.
What would you do? If I was a local roofer, if gave you that example, how would you get me on the first page? If I came to you and I'm like, I want to rank because people will find me first over my competition, what would be the next steps?
All right, well, I mean, you definitely want to start with keyword research, like what keywords you're building around, because if you don't have, like, that's basically your foundation. And from there, you do the further research and get your long tail keywords. And, you know, if you're talking in terms
of tools, there's some tools you can use.
And there's like Google Analytics being a big one. Like, that's just the one I default to because that's the one I'm the most familiar with. But I know there's other tools out there.
Mm-hmm. And Keyword Planner.
Keyword Planner is within Google. That is within, no, it's not within Google it's Analytics. Within Google. That's AdWords. That's within AdWords.
Oh, yeah. They use that for AdWords.
Yeah, the Keyword Planner is within AdWords. And they just, changed it recently, and it's, like, entirely different than what it used to be.
So what I'm hearing is, you know, to rank as a roofer, first thing you need to understand what people are searching for.
You need to understand what people are searching for. Right. And then when it comes to creating the content, you need to understand your audience for sure. But that's, like, that's a basic rule in any form of marketing.
And when you say that, you mean sort of, like, if people are searching for roofing services, you're speaking their language, you're addressing their pain points. What do you mean by...
Well, you also kind of have an idea of who they are. Like, I mean, I'm sure you know this, Nathan, through Facebook, you can get, like, the demographics of the people that follow your page.
I do a lot of audience research to make sure I'm speaking to them in my...
Exactly.
Ad
but I'm not...
A lot of times I'm pretty lazy about it.
Yeah, but I'm talking, like, you know, super basic. Not, like, knowing who they are as individuals. Like, knowing, like... like where like your age demographic is like as, sure. as far like roof work, you know they're going
to
be homeowners.
I've optimized
because anyone who's not a homeowner
recently, men are tend to respond more to these ads because they want to replace their roofs. Okay. They want to protect their family. They're the provider.
So knowing that men might be your audience.
That could be part of your
content. The perspective, I guess.
But at the very basics of it, you're looking for homeowners, and if they're homeowners, you can kind of guess that for like age, they're probably like in their 30s and above because that's just kind of how it seems to be these days.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's how you start to get your basic idea. And if you already have, like, a good customer base and you know these people personally, you can kind of figure it out from there, too. Like, what kind of people are coming back to you and, like, you know, in the basic sense.
Who you worked with before.
Yeah. So then you can write your blogs to try to, like, answer problems you know they've had in the field. And we get that from our clients, too, where they're like, can you do a blog about this? Because we had several people complain about this issue.
Okay.
So they already know, like, this is a problem with our customers.
Common problems.
So, like,
and solving them.
Yeah. So the people that come to us, you know, the businesses thing, and the people that come to us have these problems routinely. So let's try to give them some sort of answer.
Okay.
So that's one way to get them into the blog, right? So you write blogs geared towards what you know your
pain points are.
Exactly.
Their challenges, what are they wanting? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. And then now, so we're talking about now ranking. So now you've addressed your audience very, concisely.
How do you rank
right?
above your competition?
Now, how do you start ranking?
Well, you can, like, one way I've said, you can look for featured snippets and try to find a way to, like, dethrone there, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're doing research and you're looking at what other people are writing, like, just the idea that you want to deliver more, better content. Because I have that problem, too, where I look at other,
skyscraper,
like...
Skyscraper technique, that's what
I
keep hearing.
Yeah, where I look at, like, other, like, you know, like...
making it better.
Basically, like, competitors to competitors to our clients. And their websites, you look at their service pages, and there's, like, nothing on them. It's like, what, you know, what are you trying to... There's nothing here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it's like, well, I'm going to make it better than this. And, like, and the thing is, like, I know, like, basics of SEO. I don't do, like, the actual technical, like, parts of SEO. But I know that, you know, this is going a little bit beyond content, but, like, Google local listings are very important, like the My Business listings, because Google gives favor to that because you're using their system directly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing.
Like Facebook Live.
Yeah. But, you know, so other things, you know, what, just beyond the content itself, like, there, you know, you want to optimize your titles, like, not just the titles that appear on the page, the titles, like, behind the page, like, your SEO title tags. and whatnot. Tags. Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, when you put an image up there, you can name the image. And the name of the image file, you wanna optimize that as well. Put your keywords in that.
Yeah, what is that called? Alts? Alt tags?
Yeah, alt tags.
Metadata.
Yeah, so it's all searchable, and so you want to be able to be found. Right. And it sounds like taking this process of going from proper keyword research, knowing your audience, mm-hmm. and you're writing for them, what else would you do? Besides for that, you have the content there. You're recognizing what your competitors, they have certain snippets that are working, so you want to do it better than them. But like getting to the number one spot, is there any other type of component besides for that?
Like in terms of content writing or just SEO in general?
Well, content writing and how about backlinks? Do you need other people to refer you to that type of website?
I mean, that definitely always helps if you can get links outside of the website. Okay. I mean, there's internal linking as well, too. I mean, that's important because Google looks for that, you know,
quality
of website, user experience.
So I have a question. What about all right, so we talked about length of articles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Google appreciating articles that are more than like 2,000 words plus, right? So what is your take on having like, I guess, like really long, in-depth articles versus maybe multiple snippets of different ones, right? Like I could break one really long one into five per se. What is your take on SEO? Is that a best practice? Does that benefit? What is your take on it?
So once again, I'm more on the content writing aspect, and like I'm not so much like an expert in pure SEO, okay. more so than just like understanding the basic principles.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think, you know, it, like I said, that's kind of in the eye of the beholder, in the sense like when, like it depends on how you want to present it, where you can do something super long, but like I like to try to keep things like for a blog like 1,000 to 1,500 words. Like I don't
for the audience.
Yeah, for the audience, because I'd like to make it and you
experience, right?
And you want to break that up into readable, like digestible chunks as well.
Right.
So
good spacing. Good paragraphs, bullet points.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely bulleted lists. You know, that's very key. You know, you have your like your your H2s and even your H3s beneath that if you need them.
Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is quality and relevancy. If you keep providing that type of content, Google will favor you and keep letting you climb those ranks on the first page.
Yeah.
That's the main theme here is what I'm hearing.
And it does help too, because we have clients where we redo, like, you know, when we redo websites, we redo all the content as well, like, especially if they're light on content.
Okay.
And that alone like already helps, because it's just more stuff for Google to crawl. Because if there's like, if you have a page that like a service page that has like 100 words on it, that's like nothing. But you have a service page that's like 550 words. You know
what I
mean?
To a page, if it doesn't have a lot of words, like I do want a little bit more. And I know that can be expressed more now in video. Video is becoming bigger for SEO.
Definitely.
And so, but yeah, 1,500 to 2,000 words.
But that's like blog article length, because there's a different, you know, it's a different philosophy for service pages.
So to recap here, what I'm hearing is that mainly we're writing for the user now. You want to be able to have these snippets to answer these questions that people want the information, they want it fast, and they have to go to just the first page of Google, and they get what they need, and they don't always have to click through the site. Is that right?
Yes. They don't have to click through the site if they don't want to, but the idea is if you give them the answer they need, like I said earlier, it builds trust, and it gives them a reason to want to click through, to learn more.
Got it.
And a part of that building trust has to do with probably how you're tailoring and the language you're using within your content, right? So we talked about the split of 70-30. Mm-hmm. You're writing 70% of your content is focused on the user, the reader, right?
Mm-hmm.
30% is to be tailored towards optimizing your search engine.
Because remember, like the search engines can give you what questions are being asked, but those questions are being asked by actual people.
Real people.
And making sure you still tailor it to, because you know people are going to be mainly on the platform of mobile, right? They're not going to be on desktop anymore.
Yeah.
It's becoming less and less and less, right? So you want to make sure that on your blog posts that it's really readable. Right? As far as on a mobile screen, would you say?
Yeah, that's also a very important aspect of SEO, like more on the web design aspect is, you want your stuff to be responsive and, you know, mobile ready so that on any device it displays properly.
Yeah.
And navigates properly. And loads properly.
And loads,
like,
and
all
overall,
of that
it
is
sounds
important.
Like we're still gearing it toward the user.
Yeah,
toward
it's still
user.
The
That's
yeah.
everything here.
And you're right that mobile search is actually we're past that point where it's taken over non-mobile search. So more people are searching things on their cell phones or tablets or whatever than they are on laptops and desktops. It's gotten to that point where mobile has taken over, and a lot of those searches are voice searches. So that's what you have to keep in mind, is more and more that's going to become voice search.
Yeah, that brings me to the next point here.
Is that that kind of where you envision sort of the future of SEO going? What's your take on where this is going?
I mean, I really do think it's going to be more and more about voice search, because that just seems to be where it's headed with like stuff like Alexa and Google Home, where people are just talking at it and it's responding to them, you know? So wow. It's almost like the search engine is becoming less and less this thing that... I mean, I'm trying to think of how to... Like, it used to be, like, this kind of entity that you'd have to please it, and it would give, you know, and then it would give you, like, some kind of high rankings or whatever, but now it's, like, geared its focus on the user, where whatever the user wants, it's going to go back into the vast, you know, sea of the web, grab the best stuff out of it to then present to the user.
It's been around for so long, it's collected all this data over the years, and now it knows so much more about the user and what they really want.
It's able to deliver the direct content and, like, the exactly what they're looking for.
It's like Google used to tell you what you wanted, now it's listening to you and giving you what you wanted, right?
Wow. Well,
I guess that's one way to put it.
Well put. Well, thanks, Vince. This has been great, man.
Well, yeah.
I appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. I'm honored to be the first guest.
Now, in the next episode, we're going to be talking about how to gravitate customers toward your sales funnel using lead magnets and the first thing you should do before launching your ad campaign. I'm Nathan Garrett, your digital dynamo. You can find me at nathangarrett.net.
And I'm Lante Tacona, your collaboration connoisseur. You can connect with me on LinkedIn at LANTEI.
All right, thanks for listening.